As we go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, I'm going to open up with a few verses here. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 9. The Bible says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your ways higher, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let's pray this morning. Father, we come before you, and we thank you for your presence that is here. We thank you for your word that you have given us, Lord. And I pray this morning for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that it would be not me, but it would be you speaking into the hearts of your people this morning. I pray that you open every heart and every life to what it is that you want to speak here this day. Allow us to receive it and apply it, that our lives, Lord, would never be the same. We thank you. We ask that you just have your way, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. We all say amen. Here, the Lord, I believe, has something special in store for our lives. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah 29:11, he says that I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. So the Lord has a plan for our life. How many can say amen? He's got purposes in store for us. He's got a plan for us. I believe the Lord wants to bless his people, that he wants to bless us abundantly so that we in turn can be a blessing to our city and to our families and to the nations of the world. When you read the scriptures and you read the word of God, that's what you get. You see how much God wants to do for us. But how many know many times we might not necessarily see those blessings taking place? We might not see the breakthrough. We might not see the blessing, the finances. We might not see loved ones getting saved all the time. And sometimes it can get us to wonder a little bit, okay, God, what's up with your plan? What's up with your purposes? I thought they were going to come to pass. So I'm going to share with you for a few moments here this morning the key to get them promises real and alive within our lives. The title of my message this morning, I titled it, The Power of Spiritual Alignment. The Power of Spiritual Alignment. Here in the scripture in the book of Isaiah 55, God says to let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. And it begins to make a distinction between God's thoughts and our thoughts. I mean, no, we don't always think properly all the time. And he makes a distinction between God's ways and our ways. And God says that his thoughts and his ways are so much higher than our thoughts. And what God is really saying in the scripture is his desire is for you and for me. The reason why he gave us his word and his instructions is that so we can be able to align our lives with him. And it's as we align our life with what God desires, that's when the blessings will come. That's when the breakthrough will come. Because the blessings of God flow out of God when we're walking in alignment with him and in his purposes. Because how many want those blessings to flow? But we got to be in right alignment with God. And as we come in right alignment with God, all of a sudden, you're going to experience the blessings of God are going to start flowing in your life. His anointing is going to start flowing in your life, in your ministry. His favor, every promise that he has given you is going to start to be fulfilled. But too many times, too many people, they want the blessing of God. Because everybody wants the blessing of God. I mean, people go to Potawatomi and they're praying as they're hitting the spin, right? Oh, Lord, bless me, Lord. Everybody wants the blessings of God, but not everybody's willing to align themselves with God to get the blessing of God. They want to stay out of alignment and still get the blessing. His anointing that he has for us, right? It comes with alignment. Then as people, they pray for the blessings of God, even though they're out of alignment, then many times what happens is we start to blame God for the bad things that are happening with inside of our lives. God, why does this have to happen? God, why does that have to happen? Like if it's God's fault, like God moved somewhere. Like he wasn't there. But how many know God hasn't moved? He's still on the throne. He's still in position, right? See, it's us. It's us many times that lose our position. And we get out of position. And we get out of alignment. And so all of a sudden, the anointing of God starts flowing. How many have experienced that personally? Maybe you've been walking with God for a while, and you know what it's like to feel the anointing of God. You know what it's like to feel the power of God. And all of a sudden, you know maybe you haven't been walking in alignment with God lately. You can feel the power just drain. You feel all of it. You just know you ain't got no anointing no more. You don't even want to pray for nobody no more because you know you ain't got no power no more. Or am I the only one here this morning? Come on, doesn't that happen to us when we're serving the Lord? We get out of alignment. We lose track. We lose focus. You know, we stop reading the Bible. We stop praying. And all of a sudden, man, we can feel the power just gone. We feel the anointing gone. We're not walking full of faith. And, you know, we're not all speaking positive. Hey, it's going to be okay, brother. God's going to bring you through. No, we're like, oh, man, I can't believe that. And we're grumbling and complaining and talking negative. That's a Blues Clue that you're out of alignment. Negativity, amen? I got three areas here that God wants us to align with him. That we need to align our lives in order for the blessings of God to flow. And number one, we need to align our worship. We need to align our worship. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 2 through 3, chapter 20 is where we find the Ten Commandments. Everybody's familiar with the Ten Commandments, right? And right here in the beginning of chapter 20, we see the very first commandment and the most important commandment. He says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Here's the commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. What the Lord is saying in that commandment is you shall worship the Lord and worship the Lord alone. Now, too many of us were saying, well, of course I worship the Lord. Who really do you worship? Who truly is your God this morning? I'm going to redefine worship this morning. There's many definitions of worship, but this is as the Lord gave it to me. The one whom you desire and live to please is the one you worship. The one you live to please. The one you desire to please in your life. Because all of us try to please somebody, right? We try to please our spouses. We try to please family. But how many know this scripture says we shall, the first and foremost person to seek to please God should be number one. To have that desire to want to live to please God at any cost. Whatever he asks us to do, to live to please him. To please him over self. Many times I believe the number one person that we worship is many times ourselves, not the Lord. Because if we're living to please ourselves, we are worshiping ourselves. Because we are placing ourselves at priority number one. If we place our desires before God's desires, we are worshiping ourselves. And God says, no, you're out of alignment. You need to line up your worship. You need to get your worship right. Because if your worship ain't right, if your worship is out of alignment, everything else in your life is going to go haywire and be out of alignment. You got to learn how to establish your worship. You got to learn how to place God number one with inside of your life. That he has to be the one that you wake up in the morning that you want to please the Lord. You want to live for the Lord. That's your spiritual act of worship, the Bible says, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. To present yourself to God. Say, God, I want to please you. But too many times, how many know we go through life and we go through our day and the first thing we think of is ourselves. I'm just going to please myself. With no regard to what God wants us to do. With no regard to what God has for our lives or what his word has to say. We say, no, I'm going to please myself. That's why the Bible says is to get rid of all selfish ambition. Because the Bible says you can't serve two masters, right? We cannot, you know, the Bible says in that scripture, you can't serve God and money. But you can't serve two masters no matter what the matter. You can't serve God and self at the same time. You can't serve the flesh and the spirit at the same time. You got to choose which one you want to please. You want to please the flesh or you want to please the spirit? Because the one you want to please is the one you're going to feed, the one you're going to spend time with, the one you're going to, you know, to live with. And that determines who you really worship. Not who you say you worship. Can I keep it real this morning? Is this Victory Outreach, right? Not the church around the corner. I could talk like this morning, right? So we got to align our worship. In the book of John, chapter 5, verse 30, we see the example of Jesus. As he was being criticized for the work that he was doing, the miracles that he was performing, he said to the people, by myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, get this part, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. I want you to catch that. I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Jesus didn't live for himself. He lived to please the Father. Everything he did. He desired to please the follow, to please his Father. And so he put his needs and his desires and his wants on the back burner. And say, that's what I want. That's what I feel that I need. But it doesn't matter because I'm going to please the Father and put myself last. He's our example, amen? Even Jesus, when he came, he says, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. His worship was right. And because Jesus' worship was right, the blessings and the anointing of God was flowing out of his life, that wherever he went, he was a blessing. I believe the Lord wants to do the same for us. If we're willing to put self on the back burner. And that God would become our number one. To seek to please God on a daily basis in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our actions, in our giving. Can I get an amen? In our finances, are we truly seeking to please the Lord in our finances? In our stewardship. And I'm not only talking about giving to the church and our tithes and offerings. What do you do with the other 90%? Because you know that money is not yours, right? The Bible says it all belongs to the Lord. We're simply a steward. We're simply a manager. Are we a faithful manager with what God has given us? Or are we just seeking to please myself? I want those new shoes. I want that new suit. And I'm going to eat over here. And I don't care how much it costs. And, you know, flesh, flesh, flesh. Jesus says, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Wouldn't that be awesome if that characterized our lives? I don't seek to please myself, but I seek to please the Lord. He's the one that sent me here. Some other examples in the Bible, John the Baptist. Think about John the Baptist for a moment. He was out there in the wilderness, the Bible says, right? Eating bugs and honey, dressed like a bum. You think he wanted to look like that? He wanted to be like that? No, he put his needs to the side, and he was doing what God had called him to do because he was preparing a way for the Lord. It didn't look good, you know, for everybody else's perspective, but he was a man of God. We think about David in the Bible, and David is known to have a heart after God, a man after God's own heart. He lived ultimately to please the Lord. That was his desire. And at the very moment that his worship got off alignment a little bit and he sought to please himself instead of God, we know the story. He got wrapped up into some serious sin, committed adultery, committed murder, lied. Because all of a sudden at that moment, God wasn't number one. His worship was out of alignment. And he started to focus on himself, what he wanted, what he needed. And that self-centered focus took his worship off balance and got him into some serious trouble. How many of you have ever gotten into trouble when your worship was off balance a little bit? All right? So we need to align our worship for the blessings of God to flow. Is your worship right here this morning? Second thing we need to align to the Lord is we need to align our word. We need to align our word. So we need to align our worship and we need to align our word. Now what I mean by word is words, the words that we speak are simply their thoughts that are hourly expressed. The words that we speak are thoughts that are hourly expressed. And in the opening scripture, God says, my thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts. I need you to align your thoughts. How do we get God's thoughts? Well, God's thoughts are revealed within his word. How God thinks about you, it's revealed in his word. The plan that he has for you is revealed in his word. What he desires for you to do, what he thinks about you and your family and your future, is revealed in his word. Your Bible, you carry, you got a Bible, that those are the very thoughts of God. Are those precious to you? How many know many times they're not? We just leave that Bible on the shelf. But that's why the psalmist, I think of the scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, the psalmist says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How precious are your thoughts to me, O God? God has chosen to reveal his thoughts, his desires within his word. And give us an opportunity to align our thoughts with God's thoughts. Because how many know our way of thinking doesn't do us any good, Our way of thinking tends to get us into trouble a little bit. That stinking thinking, right? Sometimes we spend so much time thinking. Sometimes we act like we're praying, like we're in the home and we act like we're praying. Oh, right, we're praying. But we're not praying, we're thinking of our exit plan, exit strategy. We all think all throughout the day. Thoughts come, thoughts go. Some are good thoughts, some are not good thoughts. But what God is telling us is we need to align our thoughts with his thoughts. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He aligned himself to God's word, to the thoughts of God. When we think about Jesus and his temptation in the wilderness, in the desert, the Bible says the Spirit of God led him to the desert and he was there tempted by the devil, right? And these temptations were come. But what was Jesus' response to every temptation that the devil's threw his way? It is written. It is written. God says, it is written. It is written. See, Jesus wouldn't have known that if he didn't spend some time meditating and reading the thoughts of God in his word. He aligned himself in that moment, not with what he thought, but with what God's word had to say. And in order to do that, it takes great humility and it takes a submissive attitude. Ask yourself a question here this morning. When you read something in the Bible, in God's word, or you hear something from his word behind the pulpit, do we submit to it as authority over our lives? Or do we continue to live by our word, by our thoughts? What the preacher said was very nice, but what I think... We continue, even though God reveals his thoughts behind the pulpit and in his word when you're reading it, we say, no, I'm going to still live by my thoughts and my ideas. Almost like we know more than God. I don't know about you, but I don't know nothing when we think about the greatness of God. Right? How many know this is a challenge for us? Because our mind is always going. It's always moving. It's always ticking. Your mind is ticking right now. Some of you are saying amen. Some of you saying, man, this guy's crazy. He don't know what he's talking about. Some of you are thinking about the Packer game after the service. Some of you are thinking about what you're going to eat after the service. What restaurant you're going to go to. You don't even care about God's thoughts. I got my ideas of what I want to do. What if God's thoughts was to change your plan? What if God wanted you to minister and counsel somebody after the service? Oh, that's not me. I'm not the pastor. That's not my job. See, we need that humility in our lives, that submissive attitude that when God speaks, we say amen and we be obedient. This is what Jesus did also here in the scripture in John chapter 5, verse 30. I want you to look at another portion of this verse. He says, by myself, I can do nothing. Get this part. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just. You see, the reason why Jesus was able to judge justly or correctly, the judgments that he made when he was walking around, when he would judge and he would make decisions and he would discern something. The reason why it was right, because his hearing was right. Jesus says, I judge only as I hear. Meaning he didn't make a judgment without first hearing. What is he hearing? Well, he's hearing the Father. That's why he would wake up early in the morning, spend time with the Father, praying, meditating upon the word. As he was hearing God's word on a consistent basis, he was able to walk judging and making the right discernment calls, making the right decisions. Why? Because his hearing was correct. He was hearing the right things. He was hearing the Father. He was hearing the Spirit. He was hearing the Word of God. You see, many times we judge incorrectly. And the reason that we judge things incorrectly or make the wrong decisions and we discern incorrectly is because our hearing is not right. We're making the wrong judgments because we're hearing the wrong things. We're not taking our time and reading and studying and meditating upon the thoughts of God, upon the Word of God. And therefore, we walk around and go about our daily business with our thoughts and with our ideas and with our discernment. Hey, that brother's not right. We make discernment like that. We say, man, that sister is not right in the house of God. She just, you know, she ain't right. And we think we can judge somebody's heart. This used to always happen, right? We make those judgment calls, those discernment calls, when we haven't even ourselves been spending time hearing God in His Word. We went to church that week, so we think we're all spiritual. We can make all, you know, we can, oh, that person's filled with God. That person's not. They got the wrong motive. Felipe, that brother, he's got the wrong motive, man. You shouldn't keep him in the home, man. You got to kick him out the home because he got the wrong motive. How do you know? You can see his heart? Are you God? Even if he does have the wrong motive. That's why the home exists, because the power of God comes. The Word of God is being spoken. Those motives might come in wrong, but they're going to shift when that man finally decides to surrender to the will of God. Got to always leave room for the power of God. Amen. The question this morning is, what are you hearing? This is why it's so powerful. Pastor's been on the series of reading God's Word. And we're going into, he's challenging everybody to get that daily walk Bible. To begin reading the Bible every day. And the reason for that is, as we're hearing God's Word every day on a consistent basis, and as we take it in, then we're able to discern and judge correctly as Jesus did. We're hearing God's Word. But sometimes all we hear is the negativity. We hear the news reports. We hear what people have to say. We hear our own thoughts, what we have to say. We got to spend time hearing God's Word, amen? And as we spend time daily hearing God's Word, soaking it in. See, it takes discipline. I'm going to say amen. It takes discipline just to sit there and to read God's Word and allow it to do something inside of your heart and what's inside of your mind. Because let me tell you something. When you start reading God's Word, His Word will challenge your way of thinking. His Word will challenge your behavior. His Word will begin to challenge your attitude that you've been having lately. And all of a sudden, you'll be conflicted because you got this attitude, and all of a sudden you're reading God's Word. Something like your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. And then you start to think, have I been acting like Jesus? I says, be a servant, all those attitude adjustments. And all of a sudden, we get in a wrestling match with God and His Word. We got our way of, oh man, but I'm going to stick to my guns and, you know, I believe I'm right. And see, so you got to let God's Word prove you wrong sometimes. There's nothing better than to let God prove you wrong and to come to God's Word and say, God, I was thinking like this, my attitude was like this, but I read in your Word, and I know, God, your thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts. So, God, I'm going to surrender my thoughts, my ideas, my attitude. God, I'm going to align with your thoughts. I might not understand it. I might not even agree with it. but you are God and I am not. So God, I'm going to align myself with you. I'm going to make that adjustment in my attitude that I need to make. Are you willing to submit to God's word like that? We need humility to align our word with God's word, to align our thoughts with his thoughts. We need that submissive spirit to say yes and amen. Allow God to correct you. That's what his word is there for, right? It's there to bring us back into alignment with God, to correct us, to shape us. Because the purpose of it is not just to, you know, correct us and say, don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that, like God's a taskmaster or something. No, God wants to bless your life. So, but the only way he can bless your life is if you're walking in alignment to him. And his desire is to bless your life. So he corrects us in his word to bring us back to alignment so he can pour out his blessing. So he can pour out a miracle. So he can pour out breakthroughs in your life. That's his purpose behind it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can we be transformed by the renewing of our mind? Taking in God's word on a daily basis, all throughout the day, soaking it in, reading God's word. And your mind will slowly but surely start being transformed if you approach God's word with humility. It says, then. That's the most important word there, then. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then you will be able to judge correctly what God's will is. Then you will be able to discern what God wants from your life. Because how many ever asked that question before? God, what do you want from my life? God, what have you called me to do? God, why am I here? Why am I doing this? God will reveal it to you if you allow your mind to be transformed by his word. Because if you start thinking like God thinks, you're going to know his will. Not only his like big will, like in a big thing, like, man, God's called you to take a city, but it is his will in the little things. How to treat your spouse, how to serve in the ministry, how to cook that food for the Packer game. God's going to. He'll give you discernment. Your judgments will be right. Your discernment will be right. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 15. Bible says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Get this, the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. The person filled and led and directed by the Holy Spirit and not by self, but is in walking in alignment with God, is able to make judgments and right discernment. That's what he's saying. One that is in alignment. But the key to those right judgments and discernment calls within our lives is to simply, it's so simple, but yet we don't do it. It's so simple. The simple key is just stay close to the word. Stay close to the word of God. Meditate on it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Let me say always. On your lips. That means speaking the word of God. What you've been speaking lately? Is it the word of God or is it doubt? Is it worry? Is it anxiety? Is it frustration? Is it anger? Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. That means keeping it on your mind day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day. Meditating upon the word of God. The Bible says, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. Then the blessings will flow. Then the anointing will flow. Then the favor of God will come upon your life. When the word is coming in and it's staying there and you align your thoughts to God's thoughts, you start thinking the way God thinks. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21, the Bible says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth." Keep the word close. Talk about them. Write them on your wall. Write them on your coffee cup. Write them on your notebook. Write them on your phone, your iPad, your Facebook. Amen. Keep the word of God close. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands." Here's the part. "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Anybody struggling with sin this morning? Anybody struggling with a hang up this morning? Something that you just can't seem to break in your life? Something that just keeps coming up day after day, month after month, year after year, a struggle that you just can't get over? Well, the answer is to hide the word of God in your heart, to keep it close, and it will guard you from sin. It'll give you the power to overcome that sin and that struggle inside of your life, just as it gave Jesus the power to overcome the enemy in the desert when the devil came and tempted him. He says, "It is written." Why? Because he had the word hidden inside of his heart. He had the word on his mind. So it was no problem for him to say, "Devil, get away from me. It is written, worship the Lord your God only. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Is that your response when the devil comes hitting you? I think many times I was like, "You're right, devil. I knew it. Pastor Charlie's so messed up. I'm not going to listen to him." Or can we even recognize a lie when we hear it? Because the devil comes as an angel of light. His lie is with, like, you know, like you got the little candies covered with chocolate. His lie is covered with like a half truth, where it sounds good, but on the inside is pure lies. Sometimes we can't even pick it up. We can't even discern that it was a lie of the enemy in our mind. But if you're close to the word, you're going to pick it up right like that. You can say, "Man, that's the devil. That's the enemy. He's trying to get it. I'm not going to let him in. It is written." You can tell that devil to back off and say, "It is written." See, the authority is not in us. The authority is in God's word, right? But you got to hide it in your heart. You got to have it on your mind so that when the enemy comes, when the lies come, you're going to be able to discern, "Man, that's a lie of the enemy because of the word of the Lord says this." And you combat the lie with the truth. You combat the lie with the promises of God and what God has to say. So we need to align our worship, seeking to please the Lord and him alone. And we need to align our word, which represents our thoughts. And the third thing that we need to align is we need to align our will. Align our will to God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. How many know we spent enough time living for evil human desires? We spent enough time, Victory Outreach, gratifying the desires of the flesh. God saved us not so we can continue to gratify the flesh and live for evil human earthly desires, but He saved us. He set us free. He sanctified us. He called us. He put His Spirit inside of us in order that we would be able to do His will. Do not live the rest of your earthly life. You see, when you see the Apostle Paul and you see the disciples, you see a radical shift, a radical something happened inside of their life, that they were going one direction and then Jesus stepped in and all of a sudden they were sold out to another direction towards God. They weren't living for themselves no more. They weren't living for earthly pursuits no more. Too many in the church still living for earthly pursuits. I'm living for a career and so I can have a big house in the suburbs with a dog and a fancy car. And, you know, those are earthly pursuits. God has something bigger for you and me. God has a destiny and a calling that is so much greater than anything this world has to offer. But you'll never experience it if you live for evil human desires, if you don't surrender to the will of God. That should be our driving force, to live for the will of God. John 4:34, disciples tried to bring Him some food. And He said, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." God has a work for you to do in this earth. God saved you to do a work. What is that work? I don't know. But let that be your food, to do His will, to finish the work God gave you to do. Jesus Himself had to surrender His will to the will of the Father. We read again here in this story, he surrendered His will. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He had to surrender His will all over again when He was about to go to the cross. And He didn't want to do it. It was going to be hard. It was going to be the most difficult thing in the world, taking on the sins of the world, being separated from the Father. But He said, "Not my will, but Your will be done." He surrendered His will. And because Jesus surrendered His will to the will of the Father, you and me have a chance today. You and me are saved today. We can go to heaven today. We have purpose in our lives today, all because Jesus surrendered His will to the will of the Father. If it wasn't for that surrendering of His will, we wouldn't be here today. There wouldn't be an opportunity for salvation. We would still be in our mess, in our sin, with no hope. Just imagine the people that are counting on you and me to surrender our will so that they can be saved. There are people that God has aligned up for only you can minister to and bring to salvation. But it's not going to be easy. It's not going to, you know, be the easy road. It's going to be the difficult road. You're going to say, "God, not my will, but Your will be done." And as you live, "God, not my will, but Your will be done," you will be amazed at how many people are brought to the Lord because of your surrenders, because of your surrendered will. I can say, "I don't want to go to Florida." I mean, I don't know who to say that, but. "I don't want to go to Jacksonville, but it can't be about what I want. I have to surrender my will because there are souls in that city of Jacksonville that are counting on us to surrender our will and to go, amen, not to build a life for ourselves, but to sacrifice and pay the price and preach the gospel of Jesus so that they can be saved. People are counting on you this morning. Is our will surrendered this morning? Or are we still holding on to our will? Are we still holding on what we want to do? Are we still holding on to where we want to go in life? Or are we surrendered to the point of we say, God, take control, take the wheel. I'm going to let you make the decisions in my life. It takes some faith. Some of you are scared to say that to God. At one time in my walk, I was scared to say that to God, because I was thinking he's going to take me to, you know, like the backside of India somewhere and making me hike up the, you know, like some crazy thing like that. You never know. God might be calling some of you to do that, to be a John the Baptist. But are we willing to let God lead us? Or do we want to continue to lead ourselves? Who dictates your will? Who dictates where you go, what you do? Is it us or is it God? Is your will surrendered? See, we gotta, because say your worship is right, your word is right, you're reading God's word, but you never surrender your will, you'll never fulfill the call of God and the promises of God. He's going to be trying to lead you, and you're going to be bucking and kicking, and no, God, I want to go this way, and no, God. And some of you are fighting God right now. Some of you are fighting God as the worship team makes their way. Psalm 32, powerful, powerful verse. Verse 8 and 9. The Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I'll show you where to go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. God says, I want to lead you. I want to show you the way to go. I want to counsel you. I got my loving eye on you. I want to direct you. He says, but don't be like the horse in the meal. You gotta drag him. Come this way, horse. With a bit and bridle. Bits in their mouth, leading them, pulling them, tugging them. Go this way, go that way. And you gotta hurt them. You gotta hurt them to get to go where you want the horse to go. God's desire is to lead our lives. And he's not going to lead us, you know, he's going to lead us to a good land, to his promises, to his blessings. He's got his loving eye on us.